Hey folks, I am here with Katie. Welcome, and I hope you're enjoying this podcast. We are hearing all kinds of people reaching out. This is a really fun thing. And I think what's fun, Katie, is that when you think of IP, most people think that's so random and niche for the average person. And yet once we start talking about it, everyone starts saying, well, gee, I have IP. And you and I were on a podcast yesterday with our friend Tony D'Angelo, and we kind of got into the whole topic that everything is IP. And I know some people might be like, what, everything? But I don't know. I'm picking up this little ball that my wife has as a therapist, you know, thing. It's like a stress reliever. Even this ball is all kinds of IP. Talk about that, because I know you did a pharmacy background and you're into like the whole thing about how things are designed and stuff, but give us your background a little bit.
Sure. So I think it's really amazing when you think about these everyday items that have so much IP in them, right? And so I started out, I was a pharmacist before I became an IP attorney. And even simple things like a drug at the drugstore that you go pick up, a prescription, that drug alone has so many different pieces of IP covering it. So it has patents protecting how the drug is made, the composition of the drug. Then it has trademarks protecting the name in the branding of the drug and the drug company that makes it. And then usually the package insert that has that list of all these side effects and information about the drug, that's protected with copyright. So,
oh my gosh,
it's kind of this symphony of all these different pieces of IP that come together in these everyday products. And take even, you know, for example, an iPhone, right? That iPhone probably has a, you know, hundreds of patents just covering the functionality of the iPhone, the way it works, the shape of it, the design of it. And so it's, people don't even realize how much IP just exists in these everyday products that we use all the time.
That's the, I love that. And, you know, it's kind of like once you, when you're a kid, you don't even know gravity exists, right? I mean, when you're really young, okay, like I'm talking baby one, two, if somebody says to you as a young kid and you're like, hey, do you know, Junior, that gravity exists? You're like, what the heck? I don't even know what you're talking about. But a kid who takes a few steps and falls is experiencing gravity. And that's what I think, maybe that's a good example in the future, that until your eyes are open, IP, you don't see it.
Right.
But you use it every day. I mean, we're talking, you get handed a McDonald's, whatever, Happy Meal. That whole thing is IP. Down to the speedy service system that Ray Kroc invented, you know, capitalized on with the McDonald's brothers, all the way down to a drive-thru, all the way down to the golden arches, all the way down to the ingredients of how it's made. I mean, and yet we're sitting there just eating a Happy Meal, which neither of us eat those. Good thing. It's a good thing.
Especially
you know what's in them. You know what's in them. But they're sitting there in a Smoothie King. You know, I'm having my smoothie here. The whole thing was IP today, but yet you take it for granted. And I guess my question is, Katie, what if it wasn't protected? In other words, if I went to Smoothie King and all of a sudden that app that I ordered with that was the keto espresso smoothie, which I ordered in Columbus, Ohio. Now all of a sudden I'm in Kentucky and I'm trying to order the same thing, but it's not the same. They jack up the ingredients and it's not Smoothie King, it's Smoothie Queen. And yet it's got the same logo. You see it as a customer, how confused I am.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the, you know, the exact reason why we have the trademark system. That's one of kind of the standards at which trademarks are measured for infringement, is if it creates this confusingly similar standard where consumers are confused because they don't know, is this the same product? Is it different owners? What's going on? So that consumer recognition of the goods in the marketplace, that's one of the ways we can measure if a trademark has value and really what role it plays to help consumers not be confused by that.
I love it. So anytime anyone goes to any franchise, that is, and we talk about that in the book, we use the model of CrossFit and Orange Theory Fitness, and we use these EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System models, examples. But part of that is that as the consumer, if I go here, but it has that IP in that building, that banner, that store, I'm going to get the same experience as I go here.
That's right. And that's where too, a lot of kind of the business strategy behind franchises is that franchise owner usually owns a portfolio of IP around their ideas, right? And then as they franchise it out, they can license the rights to the different franchises to use the trademarks, use their IP, but they can still control how that usage looks like, right? They're only going to allow you, if you're a franchisee, to use it, you know, for particular goods and services that are within the scope of the franchise. They're not going to just allow you to use it carte blanche on everything, but it kind of allows them to control the usage so that the meaning and the ownership and the understanding of the mark doesn't get confused by consumers out there.
I mean, I'm going to take it straight to my business. One of my businesses is Igniting Souls. And if there's, we've trademarked this, but if somebody were to take Igniting Souls and say, hey, we're a publisher called Igniting Souls, and we have 18 streams of income, you know, and they start taking our whole product, my whole business is, our authors are confused.
Right.
You know, our standards are compromised. How do we know that person is, you know, legit? So I feel like until people, I mean, I don't care if you hate IP and you're a Taylor Swift fan, the fact that you can go to Ticketmaster and get a ticket and stand in line and get scanned, and the fact that you can show up at a particular stadium on a particular day with particular security who's being managed by the particular company. You know, like there's a billion things of IP, even in that one concert that you go to.
That's right. And that's something too, people, you know, you wouldn't really think that when you're just going to a concert, right? You think you're going to just hear some music, have fun, right? But there's actually so much IP.
I mean, think about it. You order a drink, that person hands you a drink. The fact that it's not poison, you know, the fact that it says Coca-Cola can, you open it, and the fact that you don't die, is does that come? I mean, let's talk about the original formula.
Yeah.
The trade secret.
Yeah, this is an interesting story. So Coca-Cola originally was this formulation with cocaine in it to help with different medical procedures and operations. Cocaine is actually still used a lot as a local anesthetic because it has very good properties for that purpose. But so Coke has this formula on the exact way in which their product is produced. And that formula has continued to be protected with trade secret protection.
Wow.
For, you know, I don't know, 7,500 years now. And nobody really knows the whole formula, right? One of kind of the ways you can protect your trade secret is that you have to keep it secret. And so one of the ways you can maintain secrecy like that is to really silo off bits and pieces of it so that some people know one part of it, but they don't know the whole thing. So that way, if, you know, it just kind of helps protect against the whole thing getting leaked.
So good.
And it's just amazing to think that is still happening to this day.
That's so good. Well, and I want to show people our IP around the book, which is the 12 steps. And I love this because to my knowledge, Katie, number one, nobody else on the planet has this. In fact, you're going to have a frame. This is coming in the mail to you today.
I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. I got it hung up in my office, several offices. But I think this is really hot, though, because I feel like until these 12 steps existed, companies really didn't know how to become an IP company. You know, it was like, well, get a trademark. But you and I are both part of Strategic Coach. They have a machine over there. I mean, Strategic Coach is like, okay, Dan comes up with an idea, and then it's like this system that happens. And then all these other entrepreneurs, the 3,000 plus who go to their workshops, it's like a mystery. Everyone's sitting there scratching their heads and being like, okay, I'm holding Dan's new book, but how did that thing actually happen? And I think our book is going to basically break this down. And I feel like, Katie, in our future episodes, you know, I know we're going to have like a whole episode on visualize and organize and systematize. But why do you think, even you in law, in IP law, what does this 12 steps do for you and Caldwell to kind of see it?
No, I think that's a great question, because a lot of times the number one question I get from clients is, you know, where do I even start? How do I even understand what I have? How can I put processes in place for all my team? Yes. How can I educate my team? And because this comes up all the time, and especially because IP and patents, it's kind of a very, I like to say, almost exotic area of the law. Yeah. There's a lot of weird rules and nuances about it. So it can be very hard to explain it to your employees and your staff and really get everybody on board. So I think a graphic like this that kind of lays out very nicely the kind of things to think about as you start to inventory your business and figure out what is and isn't protectable and how do you get different strategies and systems in place. It just kind of very nicely puts the whole flow of events into a very concise handout here.
Yeah. And like we talked yesterday on the Intellectual Capitalist podcast, Tony's really big into property. You know, we used that metaphor a lot yesterday, and you don't buy property just to like have it sit there. Neither do you get intellectual property protected just to sit there on a piece of paper. But even in some of our steps here, globalize, develop a growth strategy to expand your IP impact, but communication plan, you know, have on your radar competitors, clients, collaborators. So I do feel like every single step, from the idea all the way down to the freedom of what IP creates, finances and fulfillment, I feel like it's really all there. Do you think that this gives them the journey truly?
It does, because a lot of times too, I think people get hyper focused on getting the IP and then they don't know what to do with it. And so to be able to see what options are available and how it, a lot of times too, people think, oh, okay, I got the patent, I'm done with that IP thing, right? I can check it off. And it's also something that never really ends.
Right. The child patents and why, right? Yeah.
Because you're always going to continue to innovate. And so you always have to be thinking about what's next. How do I keep kind of building on top of my fence to reinforce the strength of it and not allow trespassers in? And so it's this ever evolving process. And so this just kind of lays out what that flow of events kind of looks like there.
Perfect. Well, folks, on that point, we are so glad that you're with us. We highly encourage you to listen to all the podcasts, hit subscribe. More importantly, get the book. Why? Because the book is literally your, in fact, Katie, hold that up. I don't even have one here. Yeah. That's like the first copy. It is so good. So the audio book is dropping. If you're like, oh, I got to listen to audio only. And the audio book has some incredible bonuses, bonus interviews that Katie and I go deep into things. So our goal is that this message gets out. Why? Because we know that entrepreneurs, IP people, they change the world, but unless they feel like their IPs are protected, they're going to stop and they're going to lose confidence. So go ahead, hit subscribe, rate the show. We read every single one. And let's get this message out so that we can have more world-changing ideas. Thanks for joining us, Katie.
Thank you.